Namaste, Jai Hind. We are here at the Adi Yogi in Coimbatore at the Isha Temple in the presence of the one and only Sadhguru. Namaskaram, Prabhu.
Namaskaram.
Lovely to see you, sir. And plenty of things that I want to ask you. But first up, let's start with something which is close to your heart and matters to all of us. It is the campaign to save soil and the message that you took at the recently concluded COP28.
See, when we say COP, it is a meeting of all the parties, which means the nations. Mm. So if we want to effect any policy changes worldwide, global policy change of our concerns about the global well-being, individual nations have their own stuff. But there are certain aspects of our life, one is definitely the environment, where our concern cannot be addressed individually or even in national terms. It needs to be addressed globally. So COP is the place. There are different types of COPs. There is one for desertification, one for climate change. COP28 was CCC, that is UNCCC, which is for climate change. Hmm. In 2022, in the month of January, there was a COP26 in Glasgow. When I spoke to various people who attended that, including a few environmental ministers of environment of different nations, they said, "Sadhguru, how come the word soil was not even mentioned?" Hmm. I said, "You are the ministers of environment, you must ask this question. Why soil is being ignored? Because the agenda is being set by certain activists for whom oil and coal is the only issue. I'm not saying that they are not an issue, they are an issue. Emissions are a serious issue, no question, it must be addressed. But how can you ignore soil and address climate issues on the planet?" So today, we have, you know, after that, within 2 months, I started the Save Soil movement on 21st of March, 100 days. We managed to touch 3.91 billion people in those 100 days. Why this number is important is, governments will sit up and act in a democratic nation only if 60% of the population pays attention to something or says something about it. But in the world, individual human beings, citizens of the world, have never stood up and said anything of, you know, serious concern to us. Petty things we always fight. Things that matter to us, things that matter to the future generations on this planet, has never been said. Once there is a certain attention from the public, governments cannot ignore. Hmm. See, where in COP26, they are not even spoken about soil, in 27 in Egypt, we were official observers.
Yeah.
In COP28, which is this year, they titled event called Soil the Superstar.
Lovely, what a change.
So from being absent, it became a superstar.
Superstar.
So European Union declared that soil regeneration is an important part of mitigating climate change. At least 40% of climate mitigation can be achieved through soil regeneration. When I say soil regeneration, essentially what this climate mitigation is, we are trying to catch the carbon molecules in the air. How will you catch them? You have no way.
Yeah.
You are only trying to stop the excess emission. You stop the emission, but still you cannot catch it. Who catches it? It is a green leaf.
Yeah.
So every extra green leaf that you put on this planet is one more step towards climate mitigation. And every extra green leaf will produce a whole system of root system and a whole agency of organisms. It's amazing that even in scientific communities, 80% of them are unaware. I'm sorry I'm saying this because this is not to deride scientific community. But lot of things are driven by activism, not by pursuing what is there. 80% of the people do not know a tree or a plant cannot get its nutrients from the soil. without the agency of organisms. It is they who facilitate that. The same is true within your body to a large extent. Without organisms, you cannot exist. But that is depleting at a pace that you cannot imagine. If we have to strengthen that, we have to put it back into the soil. Carbon is not poison. We are all carbon life.
Correct.
From a worm to an insect to a bird to an animal and a tree and you and me are all carbon. Only thing is, carbon is in the wrong place. It should be in the soil, it's floating up in the air. There was a law in this country, in most states, even now, some of the states have that. If you grow a tree in your own land, and later on for your use you cut it, they can come and arrest you.
Arrest you.
So no farmer wants to plant a tree.
Tree.
And then they say, all the valuable trees you cannot plant. You can plant something else. You can't plant sandalwood. This is the land of sandalwood, why can't I plant it? No, 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 there, this will happen, that'll happen. Now what are you doing? You're importing sandalwood from Australia.
Yeah.
Okay? Over 1 lakh crores worth of timber, you're importing, but you won't let the farmers grow. So this is what we try to change. This is not afforestation. This is farming happening along with tree plantation, because everything grows better when the soil is properly plowed by the roots, not by the tractors. COP 16, which is the UNCCD COP, is happening in Riyadh. They have requested us to help them to structure the event itself.
Lovely.
Around soil.
Fantastic. So from not being considered into,
yes,
soil becoming the
superstar.
It's gone
that far, thanks to all the millions of people or billions of people who stood up and raised their voice. So I'm requesting you must keep your voice up till it happens, because it's still only in the narrative. Action is yet to happen.
Action is yet to happen. At least you brought it into the narrative, and let's hope action happens. Now, Sadhguru, from science, soil, to spiritualism and Shiva. So I want to ask you, we are on the cusp of something very historic for us here at Bharat, that the Janbhumi of a great Shiva Bhakta is now going to be celebrated as a temple is going to be consecrated. So let me ask you, who is Ram to you?
For us, he is Rama.
Rama.
See, this is very important. People are using these words without knowing the significance. Mm. Today, this thing is coming into everywhere. People are referring to him as Maryada Purushottam.
Mm.
So clearly you are saying that he is a Uttama among the Purushas.
Purushas, Uttama Purushas. Yeah.
So he is a great human being. They did not say he is God.
Yeah, they did.
They said he is a great human being. So this is the fundamentals of our civilization. We are not looking for people to descend from heaven and become great here. We are looking for people who are born here, normal birth.
Who rise.
And they're raised to such a point that you could not identify him as a human being. You started thinking he is divine.
Divine.
So here divinity is cultured. Divinity is grown within the human being. Divinity does not descend from heaven, because we know the planet is round and it's spinning. We don't even know which is up and down.
No. True.
So we are always looking at how to grow divinity. So we call him Maryada Purushottam. That means as where you thought a human being will not go, he went.
He went.
See, if you look at his life events, it's a serial disaster.
Lot of pain.
At the age of 19, he is coronated as a king. Some political something, he is dislodged and he has to go to forest. Well, forest means, because you see in the television shows, you think forest means it's honeymoon, you went with your young wife and golden deer came, all that. This is all literature, all right. Sent to the forest means it's sent as a punishment. And his wife is not some Adivasi girl, she's a princess.
Hmm.
Not fit to live in the forest, I'm saying. Because people don't know what is forest. I have lived in jungles by myself. If I went out for a week in the jungle and came back, even my mother wouldn't recognize me. Hmm. Head to toe, insect, yeah, bites, all right? Everything is swollen. And it's not easy, it's fantastic, but it's not easy, all right? So this was not sent so that he can have honeymoon in the forest. He was sent to the forest as a kind of a punishment.
Punishment.
Whatever led to that, let's not go into the story. knowing that it's going to be so hard, his brother leaves his wife and goes with the brother because he knows it's going to be extremely hard. So, after that, as if that was not enough, somebody kidnaps his wife. Then he's not that kind of man. After all, he's a king, he could have found solutions in the neighborhood. He's not that kind of man. He loves his wife, walks down 3,000 kilometers. And goes and fights, burns down a beautiful city. All these are painful things to do for any sensitive man. Even if it's your enemy's city, burning it down is not a pleasure. Only for somebody very crude, they will enjoy it. Others will feel pain. Then he brings back his wife. Then when he comes back to his kingdom, again some political issue, and then again he has to send his wife to the forest. She's pregnant. See, for an emperor or a king, by then he's an emperor. For him, his progeny is very important. Now there is no sonogram. He doesn't know whether it's male or female children. Then she goes into the forest. He endures that. Then she delivers two boys. He doesn't know. When they are around 12 years of age, he almost kills them. If something really negative should happen to somebody's life in terms of situations, the worst thing that can happen to you is, knowingly or unknowingly, you kill your own child. He almost did it. Fortunately, it did not happen. Then his wife dies there. He never again gets to see her. This is a serial disaster. But why he is Maryada Purushottam is, no matter what life does to him, he never became full of angst or anger or hatred. He fought when he has to fight. Out of dignity, he fought. Out of what he thought is right, for that he fought, but never became hateful. And he kills his enemy who kidnapped his wife and whatever nonsense. Then he comes and repents for 1 year in the Himalayas. So for this you bow down, because in this civilization, let's get this very clear, in this civilization, God is not supreme to us. Mukti, liberation, moksha, is supreme to us. So when he is alive, he is in Jivan Mukti, that is, no matter what life hits you in whichever way, you are unaltered, you are the same person. This is the only thing that we value, and he displayed that in a tremendous way. Because of that, I'm you know, even now, till recently, after 5,000-6,000 years, he still had real estate issues. Fortunately, it's settled now, thanks to everybody who made that happen. And I'm sure this means a world to multitude of people.
But why should we have this real estate issue, Sadhguru? And if Ram is in our consciousness and he's across Bharat, Rama, why the fight for the... why is the Janbhumi so important? Be it Krishna Janbhumi or be it Ram Janbhumi. And also Kashi Vishwanath. So, you know, three important pillars for...
why, I mean, see...
the faith of Hindus.
Right now, in the Indian law, I'm saying, you came here and you stole my car and went away. You parked it in your house. I can't come and slap you and take it back. Then I will become a criminal. Okay? Now I have to go to the court. And it may take 12 years to get my Jeep back. Okay? To get my Jeep back, it may take 12 years. In that 12 years, my Jeep may get junked. Unfortunately, this is the kind of laws that human beings have everywhere, particularly in our country. But like Ram, let's not become bitter. Let us work towards it and make it happen, because that's what he did. That's why we appreciate him, that's why we worship him, that's why we look up to him. Let's emulate him, that's most important.
But he's also a Shiva Bhakta. The other issue is you... let me ask you this,
how... I am not a Shiva Bhakta. He's my 50% partner.
He's a 50% partner.
But he does nothing, makes me do everything.
So let me ask about the sleeping partner and his seat in Kashi, the oldest of the cities mentioned in the...
See, being a sleeping partner is a damn good thing, you know. You don't have to do anything, but still you are 50%.
This entire conversation, the Prime Minister also made a reference that things are coming a circle. There is a rising consciousness about who we are as a people and what matters to us in our civilizational ethos. Do you think that is happening? That's true? And that's the reason why matters like Krishna Janmabhoomi, Gyanvapi, Ram Janmabhoomi are coming to the fore and they're now being openly spoken about and listened.
The politics of negativity, that if I don't like you, even if you say the best things, I will anyway banish you, I'll bombard you, that kind of politics is changing. But I think this is largely a consequence of technology and social media, that you, a single media, this against you, a single media cannot set the narrative anymore. You say whatever you want in your show, people will do their own thing. So essentially, there's no official voice anymore. It's only gossip which rules. Social media is gossip gone global, you know. Gossip has gone global, and gossip is always the most powerful communication. With technology, you can gossip with somebody in Timbuktu, not with your neighbor. I think this is powerful. This is why it's coming back, that in many ways, that nobody can set the narrative. People are setting the narrative, slowly it's building up. And I think it'll build up much, much more. It should have happened much sooner. But if something happened with official push, then it would always be seen as a negative force. But I'm glad it's happening because of people building up the narrative. It's buzzing everywhere. See, the crowds, how they are. It's buzzing everywhere.
But why is the Adi Yogi so special? Why is Shiva so special for us here in Bharat and also…
See, somebody asked me a few years ago when I was in United States, a journalist asked me, "Hey, don't stand there like that, please." A journalist asked me, "Sadhguru, there are so many people who represent human consciousness in the East. Who would you think is very important in the West?" Without batting an eyelid, I said, "Charles Darwin." What consciousness? He was a biologist. I said, "See, till Charles Darwin came, the West completely believed God made you this way and this is it. For the first time, life can evolve from one level of life to another level of life. This idea came into your mind only because of this man. Over 15,000 years ago, Adi Yogi spoke the same thing. See, people don't understand these 10 avatars we are talking about is evolutionary theory.
Yes.
Put it in a subjective manner, let me not go into that. But essentially, what Charles Darwin is speaking and what they spoke over 15,000 years ago are in parallel. It's just spoken in a subjective manner, that's all. You look at the progression of the 10 avatars, it is exactly the same. But once you become human, you have the privilege and you have the capability to evolve consciously. A monkey did not decide it should become Anand. It cannot decide. Nature.
Yeah.
But Anand can decide what he wants to be tomorrow. He can evolve into something else. Evolution does not mean just knowledge. Evolution does not mean more capabilities. Evolution means life itself progressed from one level of existence to another. This is the fundamental basis of Adi Yogi, and then he taught us a science through which we can use to hasten our evolution. This today is called yoga, our yogic systems, our yogic sciences. But because today for most young people, yoga is a rebound from the American West. They think Madonna invented yoga, you know. Because of that, they think only twisting and turning is yoga. Twisting, turning is not yoga. Yoga means union. There's a very beautiful story in one of the Tamil Nadu temples. One English officer came and they were controlling all the temples. Even now, unfortunately, the government is controlling all our temples. This needs to change because this is apartheid, if you ask me. This is sheer apartheid.
The HRNC.
That your places of worship is controlled by the government. Now, at that time, the English…
Hindu places of worship.
English took over. And why? Because there was a lot of money and wealth. And one officer came to see and in that accounts book, he's checking. 1 rupee 50 paisa per month for sapadu for onnu pannada swami. A swami who does nothing for his meal, 1 rupee 50 paisa per month. He said, why? Why are you feeding a man who does nothing? Let him do something. Let him sweep the temple, let him clean the temple, let him do something, otherwise no sapadu for him. They tried to tell him, the trustees, sir, it's not like that. This man really does nothing, you know, not lazy man. He just does absolutely nothing. He said, I don't care. Just no sapadu for him, cut it off. That is not allowed in the account book. Then they said, you must come and see him. Let's just sit with him for one moment. He came and looked at him. Yogi was simply sitting like this. They said, you just sit with him for 5 minutes, just like him. He just sat there and something hit him so hard. He said, okay, feed this guy, I don't know what he's… So I'm saying there is a whole science as to how to evolve this being to a higher level of significance and being, not just doing. And this science is the basis of the civilization. What you see as Sanatan Dharma is a mass application of yogic science. See, right now, there is a thread inside. Nobody wears a mala for its thread. You can put various flowers on it, you can put pearls on it, you can put diamonds on it, you can put whatever on it. But the fundamental is the sutra. But nobody wears it for the sake of its sutra. Mm. So yoga sutras are just a thread. You're supposed to build the right thing from your inner experience.
In the Bhagavad Gita, he also says that
I am not so well read.
No, Prabhu. So even there, Krishna also says that I am the sutra or the thread that is invisible, but I keep everything together. So is this entire language thing, Ram or Rama, we know who we are talking about, but why is this suddenly, or is it something which just keeps flaring up time and again, the north-south divide, Tamil versus Hindi?
See, it's all because of you guys.
Us, okay.
Yes.
Sir, naan Tamil, sir, Hindi pesare ne.
No, I'm saying, one guy says something, one silly statement. You make it like the whole nation is speaking.
Hmm.
No, it's just one guy. And either out of ignorance or because of some vested interest, somebody says something. Is that the way the people experience? No. But I don't want to discount this. If you run a campaign like this, it could become a public discourse after some time. It definitely will happen. So we have to watch ourselves there. We cannot ignore this. The thread of languages, if you look at it, even the European languages, now research is saying it came from Sanskrit base. Tamil language evolved separately, but there have been cohabitation for thousands of years. It's all mixed now. You cannot separate it anymore. It is the way you express the language. In some places, it's closer to Sanskrit language, so we speak one way. In some places, it's a little away from that. Before Sanskrit language was transmitted, was there no other language? No, there were languages. In the Northeast, there were many languages. There, the influence of Sanskrit is very minimal. Even in the South, the Tamil language, the influence of Sanskrit is minimal compared to Kannada or Telugu or Malayalam. Like this, but the influence is there. All languages, nobody can sit down and make up a fantastic language. It evolves over a period of time. But scientifically, studies across the world have shown that Sanskrit language is the only language which gives you full vocal capabilities and activates the brain in many ways. If people do not know this, most of the elite schools in UK, Sanskrit language is compulsory for the children because it stimulates the brain. Studies have been done. It stimulates the brain and gives you a full range. See, if you're born in a certain culture, you start speaking in a certain way. You are from Malayalam background or Tamil?
I'm a Palakkad here, sir, so I straddle both.
Okay. If you're a Malayali, you will pronounce certain things in a certain way which we think is funny. If you're a Bengali, you will pronounce even the national anthem wrong, and we think it's funny, though national anthem came from Bengal.
Bengal.
All right, or yes, at least from a Bengali. But the thing is, these are the different inflections which are there. If you don't enjoy this difference, you're a bloody fool, all right? Life becomes interesting because the same thing you will say differently. We think it's funny and we can laugh. Otherwise, if I can't laugh at you, how can I be with you? We'll all become dead serious and fight about everything.
Correct.
So, these language inflections are fantastic, how human beings found ways. But the restriction of pronunciation happens because we are, you know, we are enclosed in that culture. This is something we need to understand. If we get enclosed, our very speech gets limited.
Yes.
It gets curtailed within that boundary. If our speech gets limited, our minds also get limited. It's very important to understand our culture molds us in a certain way. Only those who raise beyond that cultural and family and other influences become Maryada Purushottams.
Fantastic message, sir. Sadhguruji, always a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you very much. Time always seems less when we are in conversation. Look forward to the next one very soon.
Namaskaram.
Namaskaram.